Hey, welcome everybody. Today you are listening to Pop Sub, which is with myself, Christopher Furman, and my compadre, James Fryer. And we're just here to kind of talk about what's new this week in entertainment and media, but not necessarily.
Christopher, what the hell is an F-Series?
What's that supposed to mean? Everybody knows what the F-Series is.
I don't know what, I don't really understand the F-Series, to be perfectly frank with you.
Well, when I think of an F-Series, it means to me Ford truck. I mean, there's all different models from different manufacturing plants in the world. But when I hear F-Series or F-150, all it says to me is Ford truck, a car, an automobile, a piece of transportation made for people who like to truck around stuff.
It confuses me because I think of the F, I know the F-150, I know the 250, the 350, I don't know how high it goes. Does it go to 950? Who knows? Certainly not me, but I don't know. They seem like they all get lumped together when they're talking about it from a statistical standpoint.
Well, I've owned a few Ford trucks, part of the F-Series. My very first one was a 1978 F-450, and it was a mad dog, super cab, super long bed truck made literally for guys who might own like horses or contractors. Oh, yeah. I did have a horse back then.
That's what it's made for, but who actually owns it?
What do you mean? You own it for that purposes? I think actually because the United States has, or at least used to have, such a huge rural part of our country, I think a lot of people own 450s for the exact purpose that they were built for. I know in cities they're floating around and people go, what do you need that for? It's like a Jeep, right?
Well, 450 is probably the wrong one to point out. It's probably the 150, which is probably the most egregious misuse of a vehicle. People buy those like their sedans instead of trucks.
Well, my second truck, which was early 20s, was actually an F-150, and it was much, much smaller.
You're already on your second car in your early 20s.
I had many cars. We've had this conversation.
I know. Let's skip it. What are we talking about today? We're talking about the most popular cars in America. And you know, guess what? The most popular vehicle in America is.
Yeah, the F-150.
The F-Series.
Or I should say F-Series. But F-Series. I think specifically the F, I know they say, I know Ford likes to talk about the F-Series because they love to throw that big F Ford out. But it's really the 150. I mean, that's really the big seller.
That's my assumption too. And we have numbers to talk about, but I don't know for sure. But it's always my assumption when we talk about the F-Series, which is why I'm a little bit confused. Like the 250, the 350, all these, they seem like much bigger vehicles. They seem like different vehicles to me, but they all get lumped together. And I guess Ford likes it that way so they can boost their numbers. They can juice their numbers a little bit.
It's a nice brag. I mean, honestly, to be able to say you are the top seller in your country, which is the United States, that's a huge brag. And the F-150, if you look around in the city world, that is the one you see the most. I mean, it's if you see a Ford truck, or even if you see a truck, it's a good chance it's going to be a 150.
I suspect that's probably true all across the country. I don't, like I said, I don't have numbers because I didn't find any numbers that break them down. But even if you're in rural America and you just need a truck, why would you need more than a 150? Unless you're doing like some serious heavy towing.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about, so we have a huge
because
rural.
The 150 is pretty capable, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's not necessary. So it dominates the center of the country, but for the, but there's a couple like odd spots where, Dodge just comes in and you have these states like Wyoming, Arkansas.
Well, let's back up a second. So we're looking at a map of the United States and we're looking at a map that shows what is the most popular car in this particular region. And this is for data from 2020. Most of the data that I have other data that I picked up was from 2019 because it was a bit more of a regular year. But anyway, that being said,
but it's still matched.
I'm looking at this map. It's pretty close. So I'm looking at this map and there's a lot of blue, and blue represents the F-Series, and it just dominates the middle of the country. And I didn't count them up, but I'm saying like 30 of the 50 states are blue, which means that the most popular vehicle there is the Ford F-Series. And that's mostly in the middle.
Absolutely. There's a couple of funny things. So we live in Phoenix, and I purchased my first Dodge ever a few years back, and it's a Dodge Durango, right? Okay. the reason I never bought Dodges in the past, because my uncle, he owned a few Dodges trucks, and they consistently, after a few years, start getting the little rattles absolutely everywhere.
Don't all cars do that?
No. So the Fords, and I've owned a lot of Fords, generally they do start to do that, but after many, many, many years. And also the thing I like about the Fords is if you do not get an unusual color, like just a black or a white or a tan, the paint job lasts nearly forever. I mean, it really does.
Okay.
If you start looking
boring
at these
colors, it's not worth having paint that lasts if it's boring.
But there's something about their recipe. I think that's also part of the success in rural America. Rural Americans usually buy vehicles that their parents owned. And when they see their parents' car lasting, they think of it as more, because they're conservative, more as an investment that's of something they're going to have for many years.
That's a weird way to look at it. I don't think most people, and I've lived all across this country. I've lived in not Wyoming. I've spent time in Wyoming, but I've lived in Minnesota. I've lived in North Carolina, New York, Rhode Island, Florida, Texas. I've lived all over the place. And the one unifying thing that seems to join people when they buy cars is that it's aspirational. They buy the most expensive, best car that they, you know, the car that really sexes them up.
See, and that's funny because the states that you named do not have American cars.
What states did I name?
Did you name New York?
I said that.
So Honda's popular there.
Texas, Wyoming, Minnesota,
okay.
North Carolina, Florida.
All right, maybe I'm wrong about
Rhode
that.
Island.
Well, Rhode Island. Okay, maybe all I heard was a lot of East Coast and Texas thrown in there.
And Minnesota and Wyoming.
Okay.
You're not listening. All right. But that's what I've seen. So if you can't buy the car you want or something adjacent to the vehicle you want, then you buy the shittiest little piece of junk you can buy. So there are a lot of people, even in Wyoming, that when I was there, were running around in little Chevettes.
Right.
Which are terrible cars, but you can still get them out on the dirt roads and you know, they still work.
But I wonder also if it is something that you just see. So for example, we live in Arizona and Dodge is the most popular vehicle here. And yet I never owned a Dodge until I was an adult living in Arizona again. All of a sudden I find myself wanting a Dodge. I wonder if it's just you see it around all the time.
Oh, sure.
Maybe I should buy that.
Oh, sure. I'm sure.
Mindlessly going with the flow of popularity.
I'm sure. Well, I don't know about mindlessly, but it is hard to understand because, like I said, you have this sea of blue and there are a couple of punctuation marks. Like Wyoming stands out in a sea of blue as being, you know, every state around them buys F-Series. But Wyoming buys Rams. Who knows why? I don't know why. And then Minnesota, speaking of Minnesota, they buy a Chevy Silverado, which I don't even know what that looks like. I mean, I know it's a truck, but I can't remember the last time I saw one.
Well, it could be marketing. Isn't the Wyoming state seal got like a cowboy on it and whatnot?
Who knows?
I just think that in Wyoming, they really think of themselves as the last frontier in the United States. And the marketing on the Dodge Rams is very much rodeo, you know? They show guys at rodeos.
Oh, well, you want to go rodeo, you go to Texas.
And I'm not disagreeing with you on that, but I'm just saying is that it's one of those rogue states, right? It's like technology, I'm going to get a lot of hate mail for this, but technology hasn't hit Wyoming like it has the rest of the country. People still go outside in nature for entertainment.
That happens all over, but I didn't, when I was in Wyoming, I didn't know people who, you know, regularly hunted for their food.
Exactly.
And
I knew
everywhere else I lived, I always knew hunters, but this was more of a sport for people in other parts of the country. Whereas in Wyoming, the people I knew there that was just part of their
routine.
Dinner arrangements. That was part of their shopping list.
Let's go hunting.
Let's go get a buck.
Fill the freezer up twice a year and make sure we got plenty to eat.
Yeah, but they would do it more regularly.
Yeah, you think more than twice a year.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm talking about these guys would be like going out weekly to get into small game, large game. They would get the large. I don't know. I didn't really get into it too deeply with them, but my understanding was that they were going out pretty regularly.
Yeah.
And I think that was to get the small game and some big game. And mix it up. You don't want to be eating venison the whole year. Throw a couple of rabbits in buffalo there once there, in a you while.
Know. There's buffalo.
Anyway. Well, there you go. That just shows my ignorance.
So marketing. So I have to bring this point out. California. So when I'm looking at the trucks and vehicles that are purchased in the United States, I can't help but see politics in here. I see politics.
I don't know if it's politics, but let's back up again just to put things in perspective.
Yeah.
We were looking at the top 10 most popular vehicles in the country.
Yes.
Of these top 10, 8 of them are either SUVs or look like SUVs or trucks.
Yes.
Only 2 of them are sedans, which is freaking mind-boggling to me because that makes no sense at all. 80% of Americans do not need trucks.
You always say that, and I so disagree. I don't think they need the big, massive Ram 3500.
Okay.
And I don't think they need necessarily the Ford F-350 with the pumped up wheels and the jacked up in the air thing. But I think your average American, if they had a truck, would use it at least once a month. Throw stuff in the bed. Go to the movie. Now we can go to the movie theater again.
Why would you need to go take a truck to the movies?
Throw boxes in the back of the car.
You can do that with a
help a friend move furniture.
You can do that with a station wagon. You can do that with a station wagon. You can do all that with a station wagon.
Oh, I love, you know what? I love station wagons. I grew up with a station wagon. I'm telling you right now, I know they're kind of trendy again, but for the most part, people think of station wagons as ugly cars.
You know,
and they won't do that. They're not going to spend all their money on that.
I'm not going to take an American's opinion on the aesthetics of vehicles because they are so bad at picking aesthetic vehicles. Trucks, I like trucks. There's
aesthetics, American.
Trucks. Most trucks are pretty ugly. Most SUVs, I mean, all SUVs are ugly.
What do you think about those Harley Davidson editions?
I don't even know what they look like. They're probably horrible, though.
No, I think they're pretty badass.
Are they? It just seems really dumb. I mean, how can you? It doesn't make sense.
Did you ever notice the Eddie Bauer editions of some of these vehicles we're looking at?
Yeah, I've seen some of that. Like, yeah.
That's just weird paint jobs.
That's dumb.
Yeah, I agree.
These cross-brand things are really, because I've seen Trek used to do it with, not Subaru, was the other one, Volkswagen. So Trek Bicycle and Volkswagen would get together and do their own little thing. And they were really dumb. Anyway.
Can we revisit California, please?
Well, California, and I don't know why you're singling them out. What I was trying to get to earlier was that 8 of the top 10 are SUVs or trucks. Only 2 are sedans. And 1 is the Civic over in California. And the other is the Corolla over in Florida. So you've got the bottom left and the bottom right basically bucking the trend of the entire rest of the country, which is really weird to me.
Well, let's just say your opinion of not needing and needing a truck is true. All right. That would make sense in California because we have a state that is riddled with large, huge cities. Even the small towns are big towns in California. They're either bringing in a lot of people or a lot of animals or a lot of some kind of agricultural where they're growing things. And people just need to get around. I mean, we have San Francisco, we have Los Angeles, we have Sacramento, we have San Diego. Did I say San Francisco?
Sand, whatever.
A lot of sands. Yeah. And then you have all the small saints. You know, you have Santa Barbara, you have Santa Cruz. I mean, these are all towns where you have a lot of freeways in a little small area. And you're right, a truck might not be the best choice for those areas. So when I see the Honda Civic as the priority car, maybe there's some argument to you, what you had to say.
Yeah, but I think that goes across. I lived in Minnesota. I lived outside the Twin Cities, in and around the Twin Cities, not in the Twin Cities, I guess, specifically. And most of the people I knew there were not farmers. They didn't need trucks. A lot of people there either wanted trucks or had trucks.
I'd like to bring up maybe not the most popular thing, but maybe the second most popular thing. And that is something that I noticed in the Washington and Oregon states. And that was the Subaru is actually a priority car. And once again,
you're not looking at the top here. You're looking at some of the stuff.
States. Yeah. And I'm noticing that.
Oh yeah.
Besides the fact that they have Toyota,
Toyota RAV4.
Yeah.
Is number 1 there in those two states.
But also in their list of top 5 for both those states, Subaru is in there. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing because of the snow. But it doesn't really snow that often there. It's more of a wet state.
Oh, it depends on where you are. You know,
that's true.
Wet, it's muddy. It's snowy.
Right.
Yeah, that's those are some pretty, especially in Washington, you can get some pretty extreme areas in there. So yeah. I think, you know, you all-wheel drive is certainly an option, a good option. I don't know if Subaru is a good option, but certainly all-wheel drive is, or four-wheel drive is.
Even in these two Toyota states, both Ford and Ram are still there on the second and third. But I just think it's interesting. Like I said, the Subaru popped in, and I see Subarus all the time, and I always have a certain kind of image of the type of Subaru person.
You're not
and
the only
it
one.
Is a Washington, Oregon type of personality.
Yeah, I think we have a fairly similar idea of the profile of the Subaru driver. There are different profiles, but they, you know, let's say they lean left.
Yes.
They probably have more granola in their
A lot of granola. I'm seeing lumberjack, no matter if it's man or woman.
They want to be camping probably more often than they are camping.
Yeah, lumberjack in the city. That's exactly what I'm seeing.
they are competent cars as long as they don't break down, which, you know.
You seem like a Subaru kind of guy, just to be honest with me.
I am interested in Subarus because I like the all-wheel drive. They're smaller. They have a lot of station wagons, right? What are they?
Yes.
I don't even remember their...
They are the ultimate station wagon car.
Yeah, they have small station wagons.
Where can you get a four-wheel
like
station wagon?
They're great, but they just don't have the reliability. They're just not built particularly well. So let's look at numbers for a second.
Please.
Do you have any idea? So my numbers are from 2019, because again, that's more of a normal year. No,
okay.
2020 nonsense.
All right.
Can you even guess how many F-Series trucks Ford sold that year?
Do tell.
900,000.
Woo, I know that sounds high, but it seems like there'd be more.
100, no. How could there be more? I'm looking at all these numbers and I'm thinking, we're buying these cars.
Well,
these
I
cars
thought
going?
Honestly you were
going
to say at least a million.
Did they just keep the cars for a year and then throw them out and buy new ones?
Well, there are a lot of citizens we have here.
I know, but how long do you keep your car for? These things should be lasting at least 10 years, if not 20.
Oh, we're car.
It does fall off
the
after
20.
That.
No one buys a car now for 20. That comes back down to the investment, right? No one buys a car now and with the plan of keeping it for 20 years, unless they're living in some kind of a rural society.
Well, some of us do, and some of us don't live in rural societies.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Anyways, give me some more numbers.
The Ram 1500 crew cab was 644,000. The Chevy Silverado 575, which is funny. So we look at the map and it's dominated by F series. And yeah, this is more than half sold, but these other trucks are still in the top mix. It's just they're being edged out a little bit in some places. The RAV4, 550,000 models sold. The CR-V 385, Toyota Tacoma, 250,000. Honda Civic, 325,000. And the Toyota Corolla was 305,000.
All right.
So you add that up and that's just the top 10. Now, also interestingly, there's an inverse in pricing here. The most expensive cars or vehicles, I keep saying cars.
Vehicles.
Most expensive vehicles here are obviously the trucks. I don't know if this is scientific, but I went to Edmunds.com and I looked at their recommended prices and what they suggested was the most average or not the most average. I looked at Edmunds.com to get a sense of what the average price of the average car that people are buying. And so for the F series, it was $40,000. And the fuel economy on that is 22 miles a gallon, which from my point of view is shockingly bad, but for a truck is not that bad. And but all the trucks are, you know, $40,000. the Corolla on the bottom of the list is $20,000. And gets 34 miles a gallon.
Okay.
So you're paying less and getting more.
I think most people are aware the size of your car when purchasing has a lot to do with the price of gas at the time.
That never made sense. I understand that, but that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, do you remember when diesel was real popular and you could buy diesel trucks and cars because everybody thought, diesel's so cheap. And then as soon as they started making diesel cars, the price of diesel went up.
I know. I remember the sporadic times when diesel wants to try to be popular, but never really gets popular. Not in the United States, obviously. In Europe, that's all they drive, basically. Of course, in Europe, they also know how to drive standard transmission vehicles.
I think they're slowly forgetting.
No, that might be true. But that could be the influence of the parts supply based on how many cars Americans buy. You know, right? If automatics make up 80% of the world supply, it's going to have an effect regardless of where you are.
Well, a little side note. Right now, for certain vehicles, there's waiting lists because the parts just aren't being made to finish those vehicles.
That's why I was looking at the 2019. Yeah. So we wouldn't get any of those weird pressures about, you know, the
right
whole COVID stuff.
Well, this was very interesting. All this popular car stuff, because I'm not a big car guy, but I love cars. Like
you
I go
are
to car
totally
shows.
A big car guy. Come on.
No. Like if you people are. Tell okay. me model numbers, I don't know what they're talking about.
No, I get that. You're not like really a gearhead. That's not the only thing you think about. You don't, you know, but you spend a lot of time with cars. You spend a lot of time buying and selling cars.
I do.
So you're kind of a car guy.
I would say I like cars. Like I think about cars. You're right about that.
You're like I don't want to say womanizer.
Thank you.
But you know, there are, you're interested in women, but you love all women, as opposed to a player who just wants women who other people think are attractive.
And that's how you feel sense. I am about cars.
Yeah, you're more democratic about it. You love all cars, not all cars, but you're not as fussy about it.
You're probably
you
right about that.
You can see the beauty in any vehicle.
Yes.
Except for maybe a Chevette. So one last point that maybe we should talk about.
Please.
is I kind of alluded to earlier that it's kind of funny to me that it seems to me that there's an inverse correlation between the areas of the country that are buying the more expensive vehicles and their income levels. What I mean by that is the areas.
What do you mean by that?
The areas of the country that have a lower average income are buying the more expensive, less economical vehicles.
Wish you wouldn't have brought that up.
So New York is the inverse. New York, you have much higher average incomes, and they're buying the less expensive, more economical cars like the RAV4s and the CRVs. Now, I don't understand the CRV, why anyone would buy that, but that's obviously, I've missed something deeply important there.
Two lifetimes ago, I was a band director. And when I was working with youth, I insisted that when we do our concerts that you dress up. And I mean black clothes with white. It could be any combination. I didn't care. It had to be black and white. That was the rule. And I always had kids say to me, oh, well, I can't afford it. And you at first, you think that would pull my heartstring. But then I would see mom roll up in some massive, beautiful SUV. And I'm driving a piece of junk that's rusting.
What year was this?
Late 90s.
Okay.
And I would think to myself, okay, here's the deal. I will buy you an outfit for the concert if your parent doesn't drive a better car than me. And my 17 years of being a band director, I only bought two kids a set of clothes.
Well, how many students do you have? Three?
No.
I'm kidding.
No. When you're a band director, at least in a week, I would easily see over 1,000 kids in a week.
Jeez.
Easily, if not more. So, yeah, I think that has a lot to say about people, you know, and cars, in my opinion.
Well, honestly, I think you might be able to drill it all the way back down to our education system, which doesn't really teach anything about economics.
Well, there's that one class they teach your senior year of high school.
That probably not these days. Is it still being taught even?
Yeah, I think I've taught in three different states. I've had children in two different states. And I have to tell you, they still teach economics senior year of high school.
Is it any good though, or is it too high? Is it high level economics?
But to your point, I think you're right.
Or is it home ec like economics?
No. It's a good class. Usually, the ones I've seen, it's just too little, too late.
Okay.
All right. Well, this is fascinating and a massively popular subject to not just you and I, but to a lot of folks that like to do car talk. But thanks so much, James, for this conversation.
Yeah, it's a great time.
All right. Talk to you next week.
Maybe we'll talk about the most popular motorcycles or bicycles. We should do bicycles.
Nobody
would care at all about that. We probably wouldn't get any listeners for bicycles. What's the most popular bike? I don't even know if we can get numbers for that. Who cares?
Can we do kid dirt bikes? Because that would be cool.
If you can get numbers for it.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
It's a little information.
Pop Sub Podcast has been brought to you by Marcus in Motion. For more information, go to popsubpodcast.com. To contact Pop Sub Podcast, go to info@popsubpodcast. Thank you.
Running fast to a podcast. Is it gonna last with the freaky cast?